drink a bottle. Good.
Swing and a drive to deep right. Away back. Goal.
Listening to The Unlucky Irishman on the Row Sports Talk Network, produced by Ashley Maciag and Boomer Dangle. Now, here's your host, James Preacher Rowe.
And hello, everyone. I'm James Rowe, or Preacher is my nickname. You can call me that. Welcome to the Unlucky Irishman podcast. This is the third episode, and we got a lot to talk about here. First and foremost, it's NFL free agency time, and there's been a lot of changes. Ndamukong Suh, who was a defensive lineman, he's going to the Los Angeles Rams, and that's going to be a really good defense when they've re-signed Aaron Donald and acquired Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, who are both cornerbacks. That's going to be a defense that's going to be absolutely dominant next year, and I could see the Rams making even the Super Bowl. Wide receiver Allen Hurns is going to the Cowboys, so there's a possibility that the Cowboys could release Dez Bryant. Just we'll keep up on that. Wide receiver Terrell Pryor is going to the Jets, so with his speed, that should help Teddy Bridgewater. Wide receiver Mike Wallace is going to the Eagles, and that will beef up their wide receiving core, especially with Carson Wentz coming back from the injury. Running back Frank Gore is going to the Dolphins. We'll see what Gore does with that, because he's getting up there in age, and he may be on his last ride. And the Giants, the New York Giants traded Jason Pierre-Paul to the Buccaneers for a few draft picks. That was interesting, as I thought the Giants, who had a really good chance of improving next year, trading away one of their best defensive players. So that will definitely help the Tampa Bay's defense, which is already talented enough. That being said, let's talk about Major League Baseball. Now, it's opening day, and here's something that our producer, Ashley Maciag, sent me.
You know, James, I was just thinking about it, and it just sucks how lonely I am, but... Oh,
wait a second. It's opening day. I don't need a man. I have baseball.
Okay, Ashley. So she's clearly excited, and a lot of people are excited. Yesterday, for opening day, was Giancarlo Stanton, who made his debut for the Yankees, hit two home runs in his Yankees debut. That's just impressive. Matt Davidson hit three home runs for the White Sox in their win against the Royals, and he is the fourth person to hit three home runs on opening day. George Springer hit a leadoff home run, which he did the same in 2017 for the Astros. So that's an interesting thing. Shohei Ohtani, the Japanese phenom who they picked up, the Los Angeles Angels picked up, got his first hit in his first major league at bat. And Ian Happ of the Cubs hit a home run on the very first pitch of the major league season. So there was a lot that happened on opening day, and I was not expecting it. Not expecting it at all. Later today, I'm actually going to Reds opening day, so we'll see how that turns out. But it's great to have baseball back in back. It's nice to, I mean, the Astros will get the chance to reclaim their crown, and it'll be interesting what they do. It'll be very interesting what happens this season, because last year was just very mediocre to watch. The Minnesota Twins, who are a lot better this year, they should not have been in the playoffs last year. They were just not that good of a team. But they made it because someone had to. And in the American League, there's just not that many good teams. National League, there was a little bit more competition, but it wasn't quite that great because the teams just weren't all that good. The ones that were vying for wildcard spots, that's what I mean. The teams that made it to the playoffs, they absolutely deserved it because they were really good to watch. So it's going to be an interesting year. I really hope that this is going to be an even better year, not as mediocre, and it'll be much more competitive. The next subject that we're going to get into is the NFL catch rule. So many people have had problems with the catch rule. I know I am one of them. They never were specific as to what exactly is a catch, especially last year when Kelvin Benjamin, in a game for the Bills against the Patriots, where he looked like he clearly had a touchdown, they overturned it. It was very shocking. And something had to give. The last 5 years, it seems like you couldn't, or even more than that, the last 10 years, it feels like what should have been the catch was not a catch. So no one knew exactly what a catch was. So it was unanimously approved a new rule to simplify it. And I have it written down here for what exactly the NFL catch rule is. You must have control of the football with 2 feet or another body part on the ground in bounds. So I don't know what that means. So theoretically, if you go down with your head while you're going out of bounds, I don't know. I mean, I think that needs to be a little cleared up. Then you must make a football move, so either an extra step or reaching the goal line. So a catch last year with, let's say, in that Pittsburgh game against New England, where Jesse James, the tight end, made a catch and looked like it was going to be a touchdown, but because he just fumbled the ball a little bit in his hands while he was going down, they decided not to give it, and so that would have been a touchdown. So another example of that would be a very complicated, or one of the most famous ones that I remember, was the Dez Bryant catch in the 2014 NFC playoffs against the Packers, where Bryant looked like he had a catch. I thought it was a catch, but according to the rules, they made the right call. Now, if that was the case today, that would have been a catch. And I think this is just going to be better for football, better for the broadcasters, better for media, better for the fans, better for the teams, and even better for the referees. With that being said, now let's go into the last segment of my podcast, and that is the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Final Four time, and also someone's going to be a champion this year. One of the big stories is Loyola Chicago. They are an 11 seed that won their region. And it was a remarkable thing to watch, especially having not necessarily a mascot, but kind of their unofficial cheerleader on the sideline, Sister Jean, who's, believe it or not, in her late 90s. She's still going strong. She's sharp as a tack. And she goes and she's cheering them on. It's kind of fun to watch her and watch this team play. And there's something about what I like about this team is that they play like a team. It's like the one player doesn't define how good or bad this team will be. They all play like a team. And it kind of reminds me a little bit back in my days when I was in D.C. and watching George Mason in 2006 making their run. And that was just a lot of fun to watch. I don't think Loyola Chicago had quite the same dramatic wins as George Mason did, but Loyola Chicago, it's very, very similar, and I'm very happy for it, especially with some people who I know who are from Chicago. I have family from Chicago, and we have some good friends from Chicago, so it's kind of nice to see the 312 area code, which is the Chicago area code. It's nice to see them do well. And then in the other three teams are actually some pretty good ones. Michigan, who surprisingly made it as a three seed after North Carolina and UNC, the other two top seeds in the region, lost in the round of 32. So they made it a little bit easier for Michigan, but it is nice to see a higher seeded team like Michigan make the Final Four. Then the other two are two number one seeds. One is Villanova, and the other one is Kansas. Kansas beating Duke, which makes me happy because I grew up despising Duke. Because, you know, and D.C., Maryland fans hated Duke. And then while I went to school in North Carolina, there was the rivalry. And, you know, becoming a UNC fan, you just despise Duke. And seeing Kansas beat Duke just made my day. I'm being a little bit of a homer here, and I know that, but I really did enjoy that. But Duke, I honestly thought Duke was going to make it to the Final Four because they were a really balanced and they're a really good team. Then with Villanova, I think Villanova right now is currently the best team out of the four. Nova, they lost the regular season to Xavier, but I think they were better than Xavier. I thought they were better than Xavier, and they played a really good conference. So I think Nova will beat Kansas, and I think Michigan will beat Loyola Chicago, but I do want Loyola Chicago to advance. That being said, national champion, Villanova. Villanova, I think, is the most complete team, and I think that they're the best team. And it's always nice to see the best team win. Now let's go to the stat of the day. For the first time ever on opening day, four teams, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Chicago White Sox, the Atlanta Braves, and the Oakland Athletics completed comeback wins after trailing by at least four runs. That's provided by ESPN Stats Info, who got their info from Elias. Well, that will do it here on the podcast for the Unlucky Irishman. I am James Preacher Rowe. Thank you for listening.